Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful that you can join us for another week.
We certainly are.
And we are very excited because we have Natty Howard back. She is a creatrix of yoga spirit medicine, shamanic and intuitive healer, a Vedic coach. I know I said that wrong. Yoga, breath work, and meditation teacher, Pachacuti Mesa tradition of shamanism, sanctioned teacher, and author of Your Mighty Inner Healer. So, welcome back, Natty. We're so happy to have you back again with us.
Very much so.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So you're gonna okay. So we talked earlier before we came on about you sharing your space with us and showing us a little bit of what you do there, so that people can see what they can put in their spiritual room or their blessed room, and to accompany them on their journey to spiritualism. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Sure. So the first thing to know is that yours, I call this my sacred space. Actually, my kids named it the spirit room. So it's known as a spirit
Cute.
room. But my spirit room, didn't start as a room. It actually started as a corner of my tiny one bedroom when I lived in Toronto. And that was in 1995. And what that claiming of that space did was provide me with a dedicated space of practice. So that I could, it's an outer space of refuge so that I could find inner refuge, so that I could find that inner space of sanctuary to begin to cultivate safety within. And that, now, almost 30 years later, it's become this space that is my dedicated space of practice. Yes, I've now work as a shamanic and intuitive healer. So this is my space of work, but it's also the space of my dedicated practice as a human. And it's a space where I come to on a daily basis for my yoga and meditation practices, for my shamanic practices as well. And so why is it important? It's important that we, especially in today's world where everything is moving, the energy is so erratic and fast, and there's so much chaos, outer chaos. So how do we begin to carve a small space right inside of ourselves to pause, slow down that erratic energy so that we can connect with this space or parallel universe, right? We have this universe of chaos and trauma, and then we have this universe of the healing vortex. And so this space is our kind of like the sacred walls, the sacred container through which you tend yourself to amplify your healing vortex. And it's important that we know or understand that there are subtle secrets to creating a space for deep healing. And yes, we have access to incredible rituals today, right? And incredible crystals and archetypes, right? I have the White Terra, I have the Medicine Buddha on this side as well. There we go, there he is.
Very nice.
We have access to teachings that come from ancient traditions, such as the Pachacuti Mesa tradition, where each part of your room is in alignment with a portal of healing. So it's not random. Yes, we can, when I first started, I started with a table and a candle, and that was it. And slowly a crystal made its way there, then another crystal, and then some shells. Like I always gathered wherever I went, stones and shells. That's what I brought home. But what is the order? And why does that matter? So the order of what you place in each space of your healing, corner or healing room matters because it activates that healing portal inside of yourself. So I'm gonna break that down. We have the south, which is what's always in front of the practitioner. So right where this white crystal is, this area, right? So that is the portal to healing the body. And it is in alignment with the element of earth. So a crystal, a stone is, a turtle shell, as I have there, is wonderful. And this is the space, again, where we are transforming our physical body, the earth, right? The earth, we're connecting with the Mother Earth, Pachamama, outside of ourselves, but also with the earth within us. So what gives you a foundation for healing? What creates more stability in your body? What gives more structure to your bones, to, the kind of this density that we are, that is the body, right? We are soul in a human body. And then we have the west. So if I'm a practitioner sitting facing my space, Then we have the West, and the West is all about healing the heart. So healing what cracked your heart open, healing trauma, healing our personal, this, you know, what kind of the source of our suffering. And the heart is connected to the element of water, and it's connected to the moon. And so that's a space where we put a shell, where we also place sound instruments that connect us to water, or perhaps we actually place a bowl of water, where we place even rose petals, where perhaps we also place eucalyptus. We can place rose quartz because they, rose quartz is connected to the healing of the heart.
Okay.
And then we have the north. So the north is perhaps the farthest space away from you when you're sitting in your altar. So my altar, my healing altar, is more three-dimensional. So I have the prayer flags. I have a dream catcher. It's where our, you know, feathers would go. And this is all based on the teachings of the Pachacutimesa tradition, the teachings of Don Oscar Miro Quesada, who is the originator of the Pachacutimesa tradition. And it is also in my personal space, I've also integrated the teachings of Ayurveda. So my space has been activated by both two lineages, the lineage of the Pachacutimesa tradition originated by Don Oscar Miro Quesada, and the lineage of Ayurveda. And both lineages share the five elements in common, right? So we've spoken about earth, we've spoken about water, we're now speaking about air in the north. And air is the portal to healing our relationship to spirit. But, you know, spirit is the divine outside of ourselves, but it's also the divine seat within. So ultimately, when we heal our relationship to spirit, we're also healing, transforming our relationship to the most, you know, intimate part of ourselves. And so in the north, can we also bring in, you know, not just in the north, but the element of air is connected to feeling safe in the world with touch. So when we're doing our practice, those of us that have a very sensitive nervous system, you know, how do you tend to your nervous system through your practice? Number one, what kind of meditations and rituals do you use at your sacred space are important, right? Yeah. There are seven different kinds of nervous systems according to Ayurveda. So what practice is best for you?
Okay.
And if you have a very sensitive nervous system, wrapping yourself in a blanket when you're doing your meditation is important because it's going to support you to ground, right? And we want this blanket to be soft to the touch. We want the space itself to be beautiful, to receive us so that we immediately feel safe in this environment, right?
Yeah.
And then we move to the East, which is all about fire and healing the mind and being able to transform from a place of ego, personal story, ancestral story, to a place of universal wisdom, to awaken the sacred fire within. So again, a candle would be great, but also instruments that awaken or perhaps bring more healing to the mind. So what are those instruments? And for me, you know, in my healing spirit room here, then we have a bell, we have chimes, we have a gong, we have tinkas as well, right? And those are a singing bowl. Those are instruments that allow us to heal or bring more healing coherence really to the mind.
Right. Yeah.
And then we have the center, and the center, according to the Pachacutimesa tradition, is we want to put something that is represents our essence. It could be an archetype that you work with. Like for me, it is the medicine Buddha. That's one of the archetypes that I work with and that embodies this journey that I'm on.
Right.
That is different for each and every one of us. But what is that connection to your soul? Right. And again, it could be crystals. There's specific crystals. There's so much more to say about how to set up your sacred space and the practices through which you kind of cultivate inner stability, and you also cultivate self-tending, that kind of shifting from being at war with your body and your story to being more at peace with yourself.
Right.
And so you know, having a dedicated space of practice matters, because when we come into this space, we activate the cellular memory of what happened here. So if what happens here is you are dedicating yourself to your practice and to your healing, if what happens here is a meditation practice that leaves you feeling more grounded, the next time you show up to come into this space, your nervous system remembers that. And naturally, you're going to go into that state, right? A few inches or a few levels down, deeper into grounding than if you did this randomly somewhere. Nice. And then after perhaps, you know, 7 days, 21 days of dedicated practice, you come back in, you're going to go even deeper into that space of what I call, you know, inner refuge.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then begin to carry that inner space of sanctuary, right, wherever you go. And yes, life is going to happen and we're going to get triggered and there's chaos in the world,
right,
but we can still carry those moments of stillness and that ability to anchor into stillness, that ability to use the breath when we're triggered, to come back to the present moment awareness, to come back to stillness within ourselves. So having a dedicated space of practice or a room of your own or a corner of your own to cultivate, you know, that place of inner oasis is really powerful.
It makes sense to me, because when you walk into the room, you've got all four corners and all the elements that goes with it. So you're really in the collective part of it. So when you'd walk into the moon, you would feel surrounded to give you all the energies you need while you're doing your meditation or whatever, to receive, right? And also to give what you need to in order to make you feel better and that kind of thing. So it'd be like you're in that evolving circle of energies working with you. That's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
Gives us some ideas.
Yeah. I was thinking as you were saying, I'm going to have to move that. That's in the wrong space. Right? Because I think if you have them in the right space, then you're just amplifying your power, your energy, your contentment walking into the room. So yeah. I have some things I need to move around. So it's good to learn that, right? Is create that space. Because I too started off with like my dresser.
Yeah.
And now I have a room, right? So
yeah. And it amplifies how you feel in your body, right? Because these are elements and directions that are, right? There's ancestral wisdom here, right? It's not random. Nothing about this space or where things are in this healing mesa. Like, I know that we're a bit far away, but there's a lot of crystals and spaces that I didn't talk about. Nothing about it is random. Each one of those spaces where there's a crystal or there's a shell or where there's a rattle, everything has that meaning and it's connected to even deeper parts of the portals of inner healing. So when we activate all of them, then we are removing all these veils and walls that hold us back, right? We're using the inner intelligence of energy, of space and time.
And I'm looking at the colors too. You got every color of the chakra there. So you can pull your chakra system through as well to, you know, enable that to work in your favor as well. So you've really done a good job. Like it.
I've had good teachers. it's very, very powerful. And it's an opportunity to meet yourself and an opportunity to just cut through the noise of the world and offer healing to yourself and to others and to the earth, right? So this is a room, right, of dedicated practice. And I got here because I needed to heal myself, right? But it's never just about ourselves. We are interwoven. And so how do we offer healing to others? And we can do distance healing from our dedicated space of practice. You both know, you know, I believe you're both Reiki practitioners, right?
Yeah.
We can offer healing medicine to others, distant healing, in-person healings. We can also offer to the earth, to the beings of the earth. And those interactions of sending energy and being open to receive that energy are also very important, because in shamanism, there's this concept of Aini, sacred reciprocity. So how are we feeding the world? What are we putting out there in the world that we then activate the energies that we are receiving?
Right.
So this is a space, yes, where I come to tend, self-tend, heal myself, continue to put myself back together. It is also a place where every day, you know, part of my meditation practice is to offer healing to others.
Yes.
And, right. So we're giving more than we take.
Yes, absolutely. So if somebody's setting up their sacred space, and like you said, it can start small or it can be huge, whatever your space is. Yes. Is there anything right or wrong that a person can bring in their space? Or is it more a feeling of this is important to me and this reflects my beliefs and my empowerment, so I should bring it into my space?
So two things about that. One is it's important to continue to build your relationship with the intuitive healer within yourself. We all have different traditions. We come from different heritage. And so the items themselves that go into your healing space will be different.
Right.
Yet they are universal. You know, when we go into the teachings of Ayurveda and the teachings of the Pachakutima as a tradition, originated by Don Oscar Miro Quesada, there are universal items, right? Candle represents fire. A shell represents water. Feather represents connection to the north spirit, right? Yeah. Stones represent connection to the earth. So there are universal items,
right,
that go on the mesa as well. So it'll be a combination of both. Is it right or wrong? No. But what's important is that you center yourself before you begin, that you clear the space, right? There is a right, you know, way of beginning to energetically shift that space or that corner of your bedroom so that you can then bring your healing altar into that space. I've just finished putting a course together. So if you want to learn more about how to do it and all that, I just finished putting a course together that is called Cultivate Your Inner Oasis, Design a Sacred Space or a Sacred Healing Space for Yourself in Your Home.
Well,
we can add the link at the bottom. It is
that would be wonderful. Yeah,
it is a course that supports you to understand this, how right. to create and how to design and create a sacred space, and also how to awaken the alchemy that these ancient rituals have to support your own healing, right? Because it's both. It's important to create the space and then come to this space.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
No, nurture and cultivate yourself through ancient rituals, right? Mindfulness practices, shamanic guided meditations and journeys that allow you to go deeper into your own process. Mm-hmm. And so everything is in that course. And I'm excited because we need to step forward into kind of, you know, self-empowerment. We need to begin with these small steps to be able to transform. You know, we're all feeling so much stress, anxiety, overwhelm. So how do we pause that, you know, erratic energy of that trauma vortex, right?
Right.
It is by sense, you know, centering yourself. And so we begin at a sacred space. And then from there, we go deeper into the journey, right? We have to start creating stability in the nervous system, down-regulating the nervous system. And from there, we can then go deeper into our story, into gathering other healing tools to transform at all the portals of inner healing. Mm-hmm. But without creating stability in the nervous system, without learning how to take a deep breath, knowing that you have the capacity to take a deep breath.
Right? See you.
A lot of us that have faced or are facing immense stress, anxiety, overwhelm, forget that.
Right.
So yeah. We start from the beginning, which is downregulating the nervous system, creating that space of refuge in, knowing that you can feel the feelings and survive them and you'll be okay. And yes, sometimes it's more overwhelming than others, but we still have that capacity within.
I was happy too to hear you use the word alchemy. It's something that a lot of people don't really touch in on a lot, that they actually use that in their spiritual way of learning. And so that was really cool that I heard that come out of your mouth. And I'm hoping we can get some more into that too. But thank you. That it's interesting too how we have asked you about your spiritual space when it's a course you're going to be teaching. So
I you know, timing, the universe connects us at the right time. I
mean, right? It absolutely does. So when you have your space set up, then do you need to clear your space occasionally, or can you touch in on that for people of just like, how do you keep that energy in your space, a good energy?
Nice. So yeah, it's a great question. A few things. It's important to cleanse your room through smudging, so smoke. So it could be sage, it could be natural incense. Like if you're gonna do incense, again, make sure that they're natural resins, not chemical resins, right? You can use cedar, you can use sweetgrass as well. Sweetgrass is more about remembrance and kind of almost weaving yourself in. Sage is more about a clearing smoke. So we want to clear the space. You can use aromatherapy as well. So essential oils in a diffuser to clear the space as well. So that's number one. But the space needs feeding. So we often, as light workers, and even people who are in a spiritual path, or even those of us who are, you know, crystal lovers and astrology, and all that kind of stuff. And I think because we have been through traumatic experiences, there's this feeling or idea that we need to clear and cleanse and detox the body and clear and cleanse our spaces. And yes, we need to do that. But the other side of the coin is, how do you nourish your space? How do you nourish yourself? It's two sides of the same coin. So your healing altar, your sacred space, requires that you feed it in Aini, in sacred reciprocity. Right? You're activating the healing altar, but you also are activating the field. I always, you know, the field of healing around this space. Right. And so when we nourish the space, we can feed the mesa. In Spanish, altar, healing altar is called a mesa. So you can feed your sacred space with tobacco, with corn, with rice. You can feed it with rose petals. You can feed it by offering a prayer, by sharing your intention through your breaths.
Okay. Yeah.
Everything in here is alive. The energetics of the space are activated when you tend to your space through your practice. So your practice, your meditation practice, your yoga practice, mindfulness practices also feed the space as much as they feed you.
Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm.
It's an alive relationship. It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we clear the space with smoke, and then we nourish, feed the space through our practice and through also, you know, the physicality of feeding it, tobacco, right, or rice, or rose petals, or an intention prayer.
Well, the indigenous talk about that too, about feeding, right? It's, particularly when people die, about, you know, how you feed, put food under a tree for some days afterwards to feed the spirit as it's going, transcending into its next lifetime. And so it's interesting to hear you say that too, that you're doing it there. So it's always a continuous feed, which makes sense, right? Instead of just a feed that's only on intentional times. So I like that. I like it a lot.
And it's an invitation to even step it off the mat and off of your sacred corner or space into, how do you feed the world, right? How are you feeding Mother Earth? How do you connect with the energies of nature?
Yes.
And so again, an invitation to walk in nature, to offer nature a little bit of tobacco within a prayer, or again, rose petals, or gather a stone from the riverbank and kind of impregnate it with your breath, activate it, and offer it back to nature again, right? Our breath is our most precious possession, right? Yeah. To life. So yes, many of the ancient teachings have particulars about how to feed the earth, how to feed Pachamama, how to, you know, feed Aini, sacred relationship. Right. But even offering our breath is enough.
Yeah. So when you take things from nature for your sacred space, rocks, shells, whatever you find, because I love to pick up things.
We both do.
And, yeah.
We're both up for that.
And so... Do you feel that when you're taking things from Mother Earth that you need to A, be asking permission to take that item, and then B, giving thanks for that item to be coming into your sacred space?
Correct, both.
I still
and, and you also, you know, first we want to ask, right? Sometimes it'll be yes, sometimes it'll be not this one. And you also want to offer a prayer to the item that you're bringing for the medicine that it brings into your lodge, into your sacred space, for your healing, for the healing of others.
Right. Yeah.
Because every item is connected to a portal of healing, not only for yourself, but for others.
Yeah.
Cool. And so each of the items that are present in your sacred space is continuously being a source of embodied healing. So these items, why are they important? Let's talk about a shell, for example, right? The shell embodies the element of water. It is the physical, a physical item that is harnessing the power, the raw power of water. And in that harnessing that power, it makes it almost digestible for our human nervous system. And so we want to always feed the shell and say thank you and pour sacred waters over it, right? And several times a year, like I will actually, I'm in the basement in my home, there's a window up there, and the way that it, where it is in the home, the moon is always shining in here. But if it wasn't that way, I would actually take everything up. Not every full moon, but at least, you know, every equinox, solstice, and allow the cosmic energies to cleanse, clear, and re-establish their energies on this on the items. And you will find that the space gets almost stagnant, the energy may get stagnant, so then you want to clear everything, smoke the place, clear it, offer a prayer, do rituals in this space, and then set it up again.
So if a person didn't have that, so would a wind chime or a chime of some sort that can actually move with the energies still cleanse the room and bring the energies into a space for people? Should they not have a window or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, when I started again, it was the corner of my little room.
Right.
So sound clears vibration, right? Sound is vibration. Sacred sounds like mantras or you know, the sounds of in Quechua, from the Pachacuti Mesa tradition, because I work with two lineages. The sounds that are in Quechua, which is a language of energy, are used to clear and activate the space, right? The specific sounds that we use. Right. And from the Ayurvedic lineage, we have the power of mantra, the power of Om, the power of, you know, there's so many mantras to use that also clear and energize the space.
Right.
Yeah. So it depends on your lineage. Maybe there's even, you know, in your own lineage, there are sounds that do both.
Right.
We can use, you know, we can use the gong, we can use chimes, we can use tinkas, like we can use so many things. The drum, the hand drum clears the space, right? But at least like once every couple of months, take especially your stones and your shells and, you know, let the full moon clean them in water and then set them in the under the light of the full moon outside and let that energy come into your items, right? And if you can't leave them outside, then leave them at least by a window where that energy can still come in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. So then when you bring these sacred things into your, or these things into your sacred space, is there a time that maybe you need to release some of these things from your sacred space? They've done their medicine, they've helped you on the path that you need to be. And so how do you know, and how do you get rid of those things?
Good question. Wow.
Thanks.
I like this. I'm going to add a third thing to that, actually. Sometimes there are stones and pieces that disappear, and we just have to let them go. So that is something that's happened to me, and, you know, we
don't
just
know where it went.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, the time was done. And they've moved on to being of healing service to somewhere else or someone else. When the more we come into our sacred space and sit in meditation, the more we become intimate with our sacred space. And so, you know, Can I tell you that next Thursday at 1:55 is the time to release that stone? No. But you will know inside yourself, the more you come to your meditation practice, when something is off. And so if you yourself are feeling off and are feeling that there's a lot moving through the emotional realm, that maybe it's time to offer that peace to a moving river, a moving body of water, you know, in gratitude for this, the healing that it's offered you, right? And so that whatever is moving through continues to be cleared.
Beautiful.
Bring in a new peace there into your sacred space and you reactivate it, right?
Yeah.
So we have to notice and be aware of what's happening for us in specific portals. And then we can release pieces, we can change pieces, we can, you know, there's so much that we can do in that way. Right. We're in relationship with our medicine altar.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. When you release it, you know, always in nature, always with a prayer. You can even, you know, release it and then again, feed the earth with any of the tobacco, cornmeal, rice, like that, smoke even. And is it a right way or a wrong way? Never, there's never a right or wrong way. What there is the connection to nature and to the nature within you, your inner nature, the truth of who you are through sacred intention. And the more that we connect through sacred intention, again, the more we're amplifying the healing and bringing awareness and presence to our process, which allows us to come home within ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the only, what is the one thing we cannot live without is sacred intention, presence in everything that you do.
I can see with what you have there too, just struck me right now, is if you're having, trying to bring your inner child, trying to connect with that, with some of the things that you have in the room there, a lot of them would really help you to reconnect with that. Because there's so many different types of things there. You could generate that in so many different individuals, right? So yeah, that's a really great thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, so. Again, the body has an innate intelligence to heal itself.
Right.
And this innate intelligence is connected to the ratios of the five elements inside of you.
Right.
And then your healing space is connected to the five elements.
Right.
So we are amplifying the connection between and the harmony that you've created in your sacred space. Like when if you sign up for the course that I've just put together, you'll have an understanding how these five elements are connected to yourself and how we can use the five senses to bring more harmony into your own healing journey, right? Mm-hmm. The five elements are connected to the five senses.
Can you tell us them? Just so people know. Yeah. Okay.
So the element of earth is connected. So there's a lot more to say about this. I'm going to bring you to essence. The element of earth is connected to the nose, the sense of scent,
okay.
Right? The element of water is connected to the your mouth, how we tasting the world, tasting water, savoring. The element of air is connected to touch, right? So okay. Feeling safe in your body, how do you ground through touch? The element of fire is connected to your eyes, to your vision. Okay. So how do you receive yourself through the beauty that you create in your sacred space?
Right.
How do you continue to create harmony in that visually? And then ether, which is soul, which is the center, is connected to sound, sacred sound. So we can use, so scent, what kind of incense do you burn? Like, you know, again, smoke, taste. Again, so there's many layers here. We can do each scent separately, and then there's instruments that are connected to each of the elements as well, right? So sacred sound is the combination of sacred sound like mantras, but also specific instruments for space And then each sense is also connected to other instruments.
Makes sense.
Mm. Right? So there's a lot more to say about how to use each sense to come back home to yourself, but it's all very subtle and it's also powerful.
Yes, it is. Just talking is powerful. Mm. I'm warming up as you're, you know, talking about the five centers and how we do work with that. And thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's nice to know, I think, for people that, right, it's lovely if you have that ability to have a room, but just giving yourself, even like you said, a corner or some space that you can come to and do your practice is, I think, so important, because you're just really touching in then. And I think it just gives that, you can see it and feel it and touch it and know that that is your sacred space.
Yeah.
When you come into the area.
Yes.
That's it. It's your anchor into the world. And in that anchor, right, it's not like we come to that space and we do 10,000 other things. No, that is the space of dedicated practice to cultivate yourself, to make, you know, to cultivate inner peace within yourself. And so we're training our nervous system. How do you enter your space? What is your first ritual? Can you make that first ritual the same every time you enter your space so that your nervous system and your body begin to trust you again?
Yes.
Right? Because trust is a two-way street. Yes, we may feel betrayed by our bodies because of X, Y, Z that has happened in our life experience, but also our bodies and our nervous system also feel distanced and betrayed. So we need to make peace. Mm-hmm. Our body and ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, when I first started, I used to be a photojournalist and I worked in the Middle East, and I came back, I was in my 20s, and I came back to Canada feeling a lot of anxiety, a lot of fragmentation, and just like a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow from many things that I saw, experienced in my time as a photojournalist. And carving your, you know, all I could do in that time, all I had space for in my tiny little apartment was a corner of my room. And I did not have anything fancy. I didn't have all the things that I are here today. I had one candle and that was it, because I was still in and out. I was still working as a photojournalist. And but that space, knowing that that was my anchor to safety within myself, changed my life. It changed everything about being able to meet myself, being able to carve that space within. So, you know, never underestimate the power of just even, you know, just sitting in that one corner without even that one candle and doing the practice. Yeah. Just have a dedicated space of practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
The time has just flown by.
Yeah. So if there's one thing that you could offer to people as a final thought on sacred space or anything really, what would it be?
I would invite you to place your left hand on your heart and your right hand on your belly and take a deep breath. And as you connect with the inner space within you, I invite you to take an even deeper breath and begin to send your awareness down to the center of the earth, to your sacred garden. And just imagine as if you were a young kid, playfully using your imagination to root yourself into a space of safety. And allow the sacred garden to nourish you, to receive you with beauty, compassion, love, abundance, vitality. And just notice how that brief visualization of feeling rooting down into your sacred garden at the center of the earth, how it begins to shift your mind, how you feel in your heart, and how you feel in your body. And know that this is an invitation to create an outer space of sanctuary where you can amplify how you feel in your body right now. So we ultimately don't need to create a sacred space outside of ourselves, but in my experience as a shamanic practitioner, in my own healing experience, it is really one of the fastest ways to downregulate our nervous system and to be able to cultivate safety within so we can begin to meet ourselves.
That's beautiful.
Very beautiful.
That's very beautiful. So we've enjoyed chatting with you again and sharing space with you. You have such a wonderful, wonderful energy about you. Mm-hmm. Can you tell everybody where to find you?
Sure. So you can find me online at Naty, N-A-T-Y, Howard, HOWARD.com. And when you come to my website, you'll see that there is a free self-healer meditation. I invite you to download it, start to use it, start to, again, use ancient rituals for deep healing. And then my second invitation is to join me for the Cultivate Your Inner Oasis course. It's a mini course to learn the subtle art of creating sacred space.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Can't wait.
No, I can't wait. And I have to say, I have tried your healing meditation. It is beautiful. So I highly recommend it to people. And yeah, so thank you again for sharing space with us. And we'll put all of that in the show notes.
We certainly will, or Kim will. She's that girl.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for all that you do. And you know, the sacred space that you offer for others so they can activate their own healing journey as well.
Thank you. And everybody else, tune in next week.
Yeah, don't miss it.